taking a move from McGowan Place to North Bangor.
Well, they had never moved, you know. The time they lived there, so my mother sold it to Henry Kaufman at McGowan Farm, and then we started moving to Bangor with horses, no trucks. Moved in the winter. Of course, we didn't take any cattle or hay or anything. We just took things out of the attic and all the household furniture and potatoes and see, the house was well furnished with my grandfather's furniture and ours too. That all had to go. Of course, he was dead and gone. But Nancy went with us, Bangor. Well, I can't just tell. Lots of days I couldn't go at all. It was so blustery.
Nancy went with you to Bangor?
Oh, yeah.
When did Andy die?
Can't remember. How long before?
Your father died in 1912.
And I don't know when he died. My grandfather didn't die first, did he?
No. Died afterwards.
Afterwards. I think he had pneumonia. But I couldn't tell you. I take a load of furniture a day and be gone all day and part the night. Then we'd skip a day or two, or we'd go with another one. It would be an awful job to move everything that they had collected up in the attic and all them bedrooms and bedclothes on a pair of sleds with a wood rack on. There wouldn't be any truck that you could load it all on. It had to be taken away with the team. Well, I can't remember that. I guess it was all winter. Pretty near. No, it wouldn't be all winter, because we had to be out there to tend to the chores when Fiery Green got through. Then I drawed...
He was your grandfather Marsh's hired man?
Fiery Green?
Yeah.
No, he had rented the farm from Marsh, and his contract run out just before she bought it.
Who bought it?
Her mother.
She bought your grandfather Marsh's farm?
Yeah, she bought her own father's farm.
And where were her parents living when Ira Green ran the farm?
Oh, right there, but he lived next house.
Oh, I see.
He had a son by the name of Harold and another son, I can't think of his name. It helped him, old Ira Green. An old deadbeat from his grandmother's. And they put a fence around the whole farm, turned the cattle in when they knew in the fall, and they just trimmed the meadows so you wouldn't get the hay crop. They turned them right loose long ago. And when we got ready for spring work, wasn't anything done, no plowing, no manure drought, no wood cut or nothing.
How many cows did Marsh have when you started working for his place?
22, and then he had some calves.
Ira Green had the management of those cows before?
Yeah, for a certain number of years, maybe only two. He lived next door, and he had a farm there, too. He run the both of them. Didn't do a very good job. Him and the grandmother couldn't get along. They were forever chewing the fat. Everything that he done was wrong in her estimation, and everything she said was wrong in his estimation. I heard them children arguing about it. And he ran out of hay when he took the farm. There was lots of hay there for all the cattle and horses. He ran out of hay about the time that we was moving in. Grandmother was asked him every day if he was going to buy some hay, because he found hay when he took the farm. He said, no, if you want hay, you'll have to buy it. So Nano and her father, Mars, they bought hay somewhere. I think Amos had quite a lot that he didn't need, and we got it there, loose hay. I remember drawing it. I had some help, I must have. We had to buy hay to finish before the cows went out to grass for 6 weeks. So it was uphill business out. For that, I got wore out, and they hired that Sawyer man to help.
You were only about 16 years old.
Yeah, I was hardly that.
Which farm did you find was managed better, your father's or Marsh's?
No, up here, McGowan Place.
It's a better farm?
Oh, yeah.
Did Marsh's cows give more milk or less than your father's?
Well, they give, they were good milkers. Green, he didn't spend very much money for grain for them, but we did as soon as we got there, and we got lots of milk. My grandfather's farm had the best pasture. It was white clover growing all through it. It was a large pasture. They'd come up to barn and cattle at night, and it was just full of grass. Fill the milk pails full. They always came to the barn because we'd give them grain when they got in the barn, so the next day they'd come a certain time looking for that grain. Just a quarter or two would bring the cattle to the barn. Never had to go after them.
Did your grandfather have his cows named?
No, I don't think so.
Did you have them named up on the McGowan Place?
No. Might name a little Jersey cow that keep her milk to home for the house. Name her Nellie or something.
You always named your horses?
Yeah. Horses are all named. There's old Bill and Dan. All the ones that my father would trade and get. Had the name of them. Old Bill and Dan were just alike. They lost the use of their hind parts. So they were dragging their hind legs. Weak kidneys. So we had to put away. Fate Leslie shot the horse. The hired man had a place for him down there in the pasture. He took him down there. My mother said, we'll go to Malone and this will be done when we get back.
How long did you have those two horses?
One was 33 years old and another was 32.
That was while you were up in the McGowan Place. So your grandfather had those?
Yeah. Father had them, grandfather had them. Bill and Dan both looked like bay horses with a little star in their head. Big horses.
How was Lucinda different from Nancy?
Well, she was more quick-tempered and high-strung, and Nancy was the other way. Nancy could see the funny side of everything, and not nervous a bit. I never thought she was nervous. And well, we stayed there 4 years, and Gene Sperry come along one day. Gene Sperry. He was down on the Dr. McCarthy farm. His time was running out, and he happened to see my mother on the porch, and he said, "Would you sell this farm, Miss McGowan?" She said, "Yes, I'll sell it."
That was Marshall's.
Well, he said, "I'm going up to Bangor when I come back." And she said, "Are you kidding, Mr. Spray?" He said, "No." She said, "I've got to leave the McCarthy place because my contract's not running out." And said, "I'll stop in and talk to you." Well, he did. He stopped in and he come back a couple, three times. She sold it. Then it was for me to take the team and hay rack and move back to Malone. Up on the West. Pretty sure. Up near the Death News School.
Was Lucinda particular about the house?
Yes.
Did she make the men take their boots off?
Well, she almost. Yeah. On the back porch, see, if you happen to have a broken hoe handle, you know what a hoe is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, nobody would fix the handle, which would be wood. So they'd take the blade of the hole, and they'd about that much iron come out of that whole wooden handle, and they'd take that and drive it into the porch, the back porch,
uh-huh.
And it would be up there like that, this side. And you had to clean your feet on that hole, and that dirt would drop down onto the ground. Up in the instep of your rubber, or your overshoe, or your shoes, the dirt would cling. But then you scrape it off on there and go down on the ground. That's how fussy she was. And if you had boots on, you always had to take your boots off on the back porch. He had a couple of old-fashioned antique chairs with a reed bottom. They were red, I remember. And he'd sit there, and the sun was going down, he'd sit out there and chew a little tobacco. And there was a well right there with a crank. There was a well right there, and they had a cook stove on the back porch that they used in the summertime. So there was no heat in the house.
In the summer? How many stoves were there?
Cook stove and a great big fire stove. My grandfather put a chunk in there that big and last all night. So one night he was reading the paper. That's before he got bad. And she was darning socks with her glasses down here. And he said, "You know, Cindy, we're going to have horses buggy." Well, she said, "Don't be so silly." I said, "All right, you have to believe me, here's the paper." Well, she said, "What are they going to be?" Well, he said, "They're going to be a tondivus." "What do you mean, a tondivus?" "Well, a horseless buggy with a motor in it, four wheels and a top." He didn't say automobile, you see, he said a tondivus. Well,
how did she dress?
Oh, kind of dainty, with a ruffle around here, a white ruffle and a black skirt and a black waist.
She wore an apron all the time?
Most of the time.
How was her temper?
Enough. Plenty.
In what way?
Oh.
I'll tell about the time you were out plowing.
Yes, it was an awful hot day on the horses, and I was down there harrowing after I got done plowing. I was down there harrowing, and there was a big chokecherry bush that I could get behind right near the rail fence where there was a beautiful spring. I used to drink some water myself and give the horses a drink. Well, I've seen this white apron sitting up on one of them little old antique chairs. Her looking to see where I was, but she couldn't find them. So at noontime, I came up about 10 minutes to 12. She said, "For heaven's sakes, where you been all day?" Phone. I said, "Down there hollering." I said, "Oh, no, no." I said, "Oh, yes, I was." So my mother spoke up and said, "No, he was down there, Ma, hollering." And that hot sun was horses. Three horses on a harrow. Three horse heads for the long evening. I could hitch up three horses then, side by side. Of course, the middle horse suffered the most because he was in between the two others. In the afternoon, I'd take the one out of the middle and put one of the other ones in the middle, and let the one that had been in the middle of the three horses be on the outside to get more air.
How did your mother and your grandmother get along?
Well, they got along all right. There are differences.
About what?
Old dresses and hells, feeding the horses too much grain. And
who felt that way?
Both of them. Because I have five horses, good ones.
All this while your two brothers were in school?
Yeah.
Did you do any chores at night?
Oh, yeah, Ralph was awful good. Chores. Lyle would clear off the kitchen table, and there was a boy who used to come and visit him. Oh, my, about every other night from Bangor by the name of Cyril Clemens. A dark-haired boy that looked like James. You've seen Jimmy McGuire. They sat and studied that with everybody else in the day. Lyle and his name was Clemens. And his father worked for the Harrington's condensery, driving mouse-colored horses, moving cream and butter to the river. Old Mr. Clemens, I remember him too. She was talking. Well, that's where James worked a long time, you know, in the Bangor condition.
How many rooms were there in Marsh's house?
Let me see. If I can remember. There was the guest bedroom, then there was a parlor, then there was a sitting room. And another bedroom downstairs, and kitchen.
That was downstairs.
And upstairs there was, I think, four bedrooms. Three or four.
How many rooms had rugs?
Had rugs? They all had rugs, from wall to wall. Disagreeable.
Did the upstairs bedrooms have rugs?
Rugs, yeah.
They did. What was in the parlor?
She had her stairway padded down to your school. Couldn't hear anybody walking upstairs or coming down.
What was in the parlor that was different from the living room? Better furniture in the parlor?
Well, there wasn't any stove in there, but it was furniture that never was used very much. It had a beautiful odor. Stove was in the sitting room. If you wanted any heat in the parlor, you'd have to open the door, but they kept it closed all the time. They might open it up in the summer. Well, they did have a box fire there twice. All the neighbors came in. Burn it and all the rest of it.
What was a box fire?
Well, a box party is, they put these boxes up for sale with food in them, and if you buy a box, you'd find the lady's name on it, she had to eat them. Yeah.
What did Lucinda think about all this?
Well, she liked it. She was right around T.E. and Alex just liked to hear her laugh. T.E. and say, hello, Amos. And Bernard Clay said, say, you know, Mrs. Hapwood, I haven't had a bite to eat tonight. I didn't have a chance to buy a box, and I wanted to eat with that lady over there, and somebody beat me to it. Well, now she said, come right in this pantry here, and I'll just give you all the cookies and pie that you require. He'd eat, and I son of a gun, and right back after her again. Powerful man.
What time did you have to get up in the morning?
Well, it was 4:30 or 5 o'clock, 4:45 every morning, Sunday and all.
What did you do after you got dressed?
Start for the barns.
It was cows more than horses this time.
Well, the horses were fed first.
Or always first.
Always first.
How much did Joe Sawyer do, more than you or less?
Well, I was plowing with the team, and he had the third horse on a one-horse wagon drawing manure. And he had 100 loads to draw. Pitch it on, pitch it off.
You, 100 loads? He drew manure only once a year then.
Well, that's what old Green left him.
Oh.
But my mother, she said, we're not going to pile any manure up around these barns. She said, when we get time, we're going down to Cook's Corners, we're going to buy a manure carrier from Henry Hutchins, and he'll come and install it. There was, after that, there's no manure around the barns.
You carried manure there to the fields every day, just like you did it.
The Hutchins farm, too. Don't forget the Hutchins farm.
How many barns were there at Hapwood's?
One, two, three, four, five.
There was a cow barn.
And the hay barn. And the horse barn. And the hop field. And pig pen and another hay barn.
Were any of them painted?
Oh, the cow barn was newly tar-boarded. Tar papered and tar-boarded.
The roof was tar papered?
No, the walls. New tar-boards. Hot enough in there to kill it, that cow barn. Worked right in the shirt suits. And we had, oh, the red silo. We had a silo at the south end of the cow barn.
How many, what would it hold? What was meant to be put in there, corn?
Yeah, 6 acres of corn. We'd fill it and refill it with 3 men tapping on the inside.
How do you measure the corn? In bushels?
Joe had a bushel basket, a potato basket. You give each cow a bushel and 4 quarts of grain on top.
Was that once or twice a day?
Twice a day, and then they got hay twice a day. See, they got grain twice a day, and they got hay twice a day, and they got corn twice a day.
How much hay?
Well, they piled it up in front of them, and they'd eat every bit of it.
Yeah. How many bushels of corn did the silo hold?
Well, I don't think about the bushels. We had 6 acres of corn with ears on it that long. 2 ears on each stalk. We grind it right up in an instant. Does that make 10 cows now? Smell good.
What machine was used to grind it up?
Well, the
tell about the grab bag.
Well, this woman had a lot of tickets. I guess the highest went from 25 to 50 cents. You can put your hand in whatever you got out between the 25 and up, you'd pay. And so Mrs. Newton Reynolds, got a nice quilt one time, homemade quilt.
How often would she have these grab bags? These?
I remember this one.
This one?
Yeah. Perhaps, I presume that's the one she ever had.
She wanted to raise money? Is that why she...
It might have been. She made the quilt, no doubt. because they didn't have much money, you know. They all got along, though. They got along and raised their families. And...
Did you go to any quilting bees?
No, we used to have them at home.
At your own home?
My aunt would came up and her... I don't remember any neighbors, only her daughter-in-law, Mrs. Beeman's mother, and her niece.
Would they save their rags that they used to make rugs?
Yeah, and cut them like that, narrow strips, and their claws like that, you know. It's taken awful lot for rug. She used to have a homemade rug.
How many women would there be at the Reynolds Quilting Bee?
About four.
Was this a social occasion? Was there a lot to eat? Or a special?
No, nothing special.
But they did eat.
They probably drank tea and ate whatever we had. Always had something in the house, but nothing special. While I was talking to you, I began to cough, but I couldn't apologize because we...
The men went fishing a lot, did they?
Yes, during a noon hour, you know. They'd take a fish pole and stand on the bridge and catch some nice trout, too. Mm. Just during the, and they'd go swimming during the noon hour, too. But I went around there in the mill, you know.
Yeah.
Go right in the noon, there they were. But I was where I belonged, up home, you know.
Did women ever go fishing? No women go fishing?
I don't know of any but myself. I used to go fishing with Burton, Mrs. Beeman's father. And he'd stand one side of the river, I the other, and he'd catch something and I wouldn't get into it. But my cousin, who's now living in Winthrop, she and I used to go fishing. Her mother lived in one of the Reynolds' houses, you know, just near the river. I don't think that house is there now. And we used to go out at about 5 years old and sit on a rock right there over that deep water and fish. I don't know how they ever dared.
Is that way above the mill?
No, this side of the mill.
Oh.
Yeah, well, yes, it's just as you go down from Borders down. And, oh, I don't think you can go that far now. I don't know. And us two little tots fishing. We could have fallen off there and I don't know how they trusted us. Of course, I don't know if this is anything you want to know.
What strange mannerisms did Mrs. Orson Reynolds have? Strange things she do anything? Did she, she a heavy reader?
Yes, and she used to read her Bible a lot.
She read out loud?
No.
No.
She used to quote a lot of it to me. Yes, different passages she used to quote.
After she was a widow, did she wear black a long time?
Well, she her clothes were usually dark. I guess that's what she wanted, you know. And that I don't remember. I was too small. But I don't know how long her husband had been dead when she got me. But her clothes were usually dark, though. It just happened to, you know.
After Mrs. Connors lost her son, did she wear black for a long time?
Oh, I don't know. Oh, I don't remember that. She never could quite get over that, you know. It was died so suddenly, you know. He had, not fits, what was it, what is it? Something anyway, and died suddenly.
Did you ever eat in one of the shacks up near the gravel pit? Never ate supper there?
No, no. You mean those homes?
Yeah, those old rather rickety places.
No. I used to go to camp, eat, once in a while.
At the Reynolds' camp?
Yeah, yes.
What would they have up there, the same thing they had at home?
Just nice pies and vegetables and potato and gravy and whatever kind of meat, you know. Don't remember the kinds, but they had everything.
Did they wear different clothes than they wore at home when they went to camp?
You mean when I went up?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Or whatever I happened to have on. Probably a coat, yes, in wintertime.
You went to camp in the wintertime?
Yes. And I used to skate up there, too.
Oh.
I used to skate. I could skate like heck, you know. And so this Frank Weber, you saw him, he and I skated 5 miles up to the camp one time, Camp 3. Good, right, straight, and just as nice up there.
What kind of dishes did they eat at camp, eat from?
Well, regular dishes, that I...
Were they tin or were they china?
Oh, no, you got me. I don't know. They could have been tin. That I don't remember.
What did the cook wear?
I don't know either. I get a big apron, I think. Oh. I saw him. I could pretty much remember his name. I think Goki.
Uh-huh.
Was that it?
It could have been.
Goki? Gene would remember that, probably. I think that was his name.
Did they have, what did the greaser wear? Did he wear anything special?
I don't know. He might have worn an apron, too. I don't know.
He served the food?
Well, he used to have to, I presume, wash dishes.
Uh-huh.
And, because it must have kept this fellow pretty busy with the cooking.
What did your husband take with him to camp when he went?
Well, he just had his heavy clothes, and of course, he didn't clerk up it. Before we were married, he did. Then after we were married, he came down and he worked for the rentals.
Oh, I see.
So I don't know if he was up there long after we were married, a short time, and just his heavy winter clothes, you know. Always.
Did you see at night, on Saturday night, did you see the men coming back from camp? Or did they stop in the store on their way back?
Well, they used to all come down. And some came to their homes, you know. Some came to their homes, and others, wherever they lived, went. Oh, they came from, I think, from where, from down below, 5 miles down below, some of them lived. I'm quite sure they did. And then some of them, I suppose, stayed over. But they'd all come to the stores. What a crowd there'd be, you know.
Did women come on Saturday night? Any women in the store?
There's some, but it was mostly men.
Yeah.
Probably the women stayed home with their children. It was mostly men that used to be there in the store. I don't remember very many women.
My
husband, no, because I remember this, his name was Mino, and he always, I'd look for shoes for his two girls. Those two girls were the same size, and I never weighed on his wife, so I guess the women didn't come over to the store much on a Saturday night.
Did families tap their own shoes, or did anybody make their own shoes if they knew of?
No, I don't know about the tapping.
How much would a pair of girls' shoes cost?
About $1.75. And some of the best ones, I got some I thought were the best. They were the funniest things, you know, mine. And I had straps, 2 1/4. They were considered the good ones, you know.
How about the men's boots?
Well, those sold for about $3.50, I would say. It's been so long, you know. I know they used to have those. They would clear up, you know, and laced up their knees, you know. Sold a lot of that stuff in the winter. Sold an awful lot of it.
The men buy mittens in the store?
Oh, yes, mittens.
How about gloves?
Leather. There are more of the leather outside, you know, and heavy,
right.
You know.
What were they lined with? anything?
Sometimes a white lining. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you see any men with glasses? Or glasses? Eyeglasses like these? Or you didn't see too many?
I don't remember. They could have had, I don't think, them any wore glasses. I don't remember seeing them. I remember certain things like this. Mr. Shepherd used to come. He had a cancer in his face. You can imagine. That's something you'd never forget. And his nose was so eaten wild down through here. He died later. You remember those things, you know? And to, but as for the glasses, I don't remember seeing any glasses.
Were there a lot of people who had sicknesses or chronic illnesses that had bad legs and limped or one eye out or something like that?
This here man I told you about, and with the nose, and there didn't seem to be very much sickness. Now, Ambrose Merrick came down to store one night. He was at one of the, he was a young fellow, 16, I guess he was reading. He came to store one night and went home. He had an awful pain in his side. He died that night. It was appendicitis, see? But, you know, he didn't think any of it then. It must have been ruptured appendix, you know. And, but as for anybody having something the matter with them like that, I really don't remember. Must have been some sickness. Well, yes, I know one fellow had, they call it rheumatism. Now what do they call it? Probably it was my arthritis, you know. And he was, yeah, that you, Paula? Oh, Jimmy, I can't hold that, but I should.
That's just perfect. Just perfect. Very loud.
There was that small box there, and the doctor came, and he vaccinated everyone, myself, and you. And, but I didn't know of any cases in Ramelston at all. But I think there were at West Bangor. I'm quite sure I heard there were, did you?
We just wondered why there was... most people don't remember that scare.
I do. Well, remember it.
Now, tell about the man that fought his wife for a home.
Well, Trim and Clark. One of them traded his wife anyway. That was almost horse. They gave 50 cents to boot, something like that.
Was there much of that going on?
I never knew of that one case. And we used to have wholeness meetings in the schoolhouse. And one of the fellows down below, he wasn't supposed to smoke, you know, nor chew. Before he got to school, he put that in his pocket, so he was one of the good ones. He had his tobacco hidden in his pocket before he got in the meeting.
How'd you know it was there?
Well, somebody told on him.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, those things leak out, you know.
What would they do at the holiness meeting in the schoolhouse?
Oh, my land. Listen to the North Bangor, can't remember their names. They used to come and talk, you know. So many went forward. I did, for one. And James' mother did. She never went back. I mean, what I mean, she always stayed just so religious.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Did they sing?
Get up and speak.
Sing,
yes,
well.
We sang hymns. Talked.
How often did these holiness meetings come around?
Every 2 weeks. We went in a house one time, and after that we went to school. There was one family, Clark was the name, and she really wanted to go off and join, but her husband was against it. Like, she'd come just the same. She's dead now, wasn't it? Yeah.
Were there any dances in people's houses?
No, the most of the dances were there at that turkey I told you about. And yet there were, but I never went to one of them, kitchen dances. They used to call them kitchen dances. Yeah. Then one of the families up there. And they get drunk about once in two or three weeks. It's a lot of furniture outdoors.
Was that in Middleton,
sir? Yeah.
Oh, it is, wife.
Well, she'd have to stand it and then put some back in that didn't get broken. Put it back in the house again. It got along good, only those tacks I need again to smash things.
Did many wives just get up and leave their husband?
No, they all stuck.
How about the other way around? Husband deserted wives.
I don't remember that the husbands left the wives, did they? All stayed, no matter how much they... any troubles they had, and maybe they weren't so very good to them. I know some women had hard lives up there. Worried and everything, but never heard them leaving them.
What did people tend to worry about most?
I hope people didn't seem to worry just about starting. Eating. And dressed. And I don't remember this. Seems to have much worry. They probably did have.
Did they worry a lot about money?
Well, that much. I don't know. Maybe one woman, I guess, to have fell off a bad when her husband came home, he'd thrown all his money away playing cards. She had several fits over it, but that didn't happen many times. It happened that one time with him, but because I know my husband told me. But as for a man walking out and leaving his wife, I didn't know what happened at Reynolds. Family name. What was his name, Joe? I'll call him Joe Campbell. I guess that was his name.
Joe Campbell?
Was that his father's name? Who? Albert's father's name?
Yeah, I think it was.
Well, he went hunting with some men, and he got shot, accidentally shot in his foot. And after 2 days, he got bug poison and he died.
Hmm. So that, how about the man who cut his back?
Ed Farmer was working in the mill, and he was planing a board, and he fell against this here saw and cut his back open right down through the back.
Killed himself?
And no, he was laid up a long while. That's before the saws had to be protected, you know.
Did your husband work for the Reynolds?
Yes, he did. Uh-huh.
As what?
Well, he used to fix machinery, and he was sort of overseer around there for a while.
Where did he have his shop?
Oh, he didn't have any. Just fixed the machinery. Didn't have any certain place. Could have taken it in the blacksmith shop and fixed it. I don't know.
Now, Joe Bumbard was the carpenter, the handyman.
Yeah, he was the carpenter there at Ralston.
Your husband wasn't under him, was he? Yeah. Joe wasn't his boss.
No. But my husband was kind of an overseer there for a while. And Joe Bumbard used to do a lot of carpentry work. If there's anything had to be done in camp, too, he went up there and did it.
Oh, he did? Do you remember the gangs they used to have to go out and build the camp?
No, I don't remember that. I know the camps were there. They must have had to be built for that. I didn't know anything about that. Of course, I know they had to be built.
How much did they pay your husband?
Well, I know when he worked in the store, at the camping, when the van I told you about.
Yeah.
He got $35 a month. Think of that.
And his room and board?
And room and board.
And whatever.
And everything it cost.
And everything it cost. But whatever he got it cost was taken out of his $35?
Yes. Why, if he had anything out of the camp, out of the store that he was tending, that was all, you know, charged up to it. Tried it to himself.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. We got our wood free. We got all the wood we wanted for nothing.
Oh,
yeah.
How about the other workers, the ordinary guys?
They had to pay for their wood.
They had to.
Yeah, it didn't cost very much, though. about a quarter cord or something like that.
Yeah, you get there, wood free.
Oh, yes. Yep, always, it was always cold. You know, winter started in along the first week in November.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a let up until May. Yes, there was no breaks, you know, like this. And that home was always warm and two hot fires going and no windows or doors open.
Did you have stoves running in the summer?
The kitchen stove. Always.
Not the rest.
No, not the other. But the kitchen stove was always a fire to get hot dinners. We're so used to it, we didn't mind it. And we had hot summers, too.
Oh, yeah.
Years ago, there wasn't... When it was summer, you know? It was hot weather.
How did the men dress in the summer?
Well... I guess some of them, not much. I never saw them without any tops on, like you do now.
Did women try and wear something lighter?
I presume they had the same. I don't know. I know. And there was one family up there. It was a Bordeaux. Ernest Bordeaux's wife. They had, I think it was 8 children. And she was frying pork one night. She put the cup of grease on the table. And her little girl came along and pulled her face up, you know. I went to see her. And her cheeks are burned as hot as. I guess she lived, but I know she lived, but she was scarred, you know. And then this John family, they had a large family, and they were at the table with hot tea one morning, and this Mary Ann was her name, grabbed the cup and poured it down through her, over her chest, and scalded herself. She died of TB after that, and it weakened her lungs. It might have. But she was badly scared. Those things happen.
How well dressed were the people you went to school?
Any of them cold?
I don't believe it. Everybody walked to school from 2 miles down the road. You know that road? The Coxes and Chiefs lived on that road. And they walked through the snow, and then the road was just an old stone road, you know, and snow up to the neck from there. And they were dressed warm, though. I think they were all dressed warm. I know I was. Home-knit stockings and men. Yeah, well, under clothes, they were really dressed. I think most of them were dressed warm. The boy went to school in the town. One kid used to just like rooms.
And
I was like...
an outhouse?
Yeah, two of them. Oh, yes. One had our old hard seats, you know. There was four rows, see? And each side, see? There's these plants. And then on the, you get in the school door, it was two more kids, you know. There's a difference in the teacher's desk.